So today is the most auspicious day of Deepavali, the day when Lord Ramchandra returned back from exile to Ayodhya, and the whole of Ayodhya was decorated with thousands and thousands of lamps to welcome Lord Ramchandra back home, back to Ayodhya. And therefore, the heart is like the house of the Lord. And the conditioned soul has exiled Lord Ram for a long time, since time immemorial. And therefore the day of Deepavali signifies welcoming Lord Ram back into the heart. It is a day when one moves out of exploring the external world to start exploring the internal world. It's the day when one moves out of simply wanting public victories and tries to look at private victories inside. It is a day when one moves from too much of interpersonal communication to try and do some intrapersonal communication within. It's a day when one not only illuminates the surroundings outside, but also tries to illuminate the surroundings within and bring the light of knowledge, the light of direction, the light of inspiration within the heart. It is also the day when Lord Krishna was tied by Mother Yashoda, the exact very day, to the wooden grinding mortar, the day when the Damodar Leela took place. Very auspicious month of Kartik, the day when Krishna was tied, the day when Ram came back, day of Deepavali. And with deep regret and sadness in our heart, I'd like to announce that this morning His Holiness Purnachandra Goswami Maharaj departed for the spiritual world in Moscow, Russia. We have his picture there for those who don't know. Very, very auspicious departure in the month of Kartik. On the day of Deepavali, what could have been a better departure? It's great sadness that we don't have his association. Occasion for celebration, because on such an auspicious occasion, the Lord has called back him back in his eternal pastimes. So our prayers are that His Holiness can bless us all with dedication and commitment to the mission of Srila Prabhupada, like he had towards the lotus feet of Srila Prabhupada. So we began this discussion on lessons from Ramayana yesterday morning, and we were giving a prelude to the appearance of Lord Ramchandra, and we discussed five lessons from the life of Dashrath Maharaj. How the nature of this material world is, there will always be a but. You may have everything, but there will always be a but. Dashrath had everything, but no child. So the material world is where one can never be perfectly fulfilled. There will always be a blank. And that blank can only be filled by Krishna. Fill in the blanks. You know, Krishna can fill in that blank, that gap. The second lesson we learned from Dashrath Maharaj was that his desires to have a child was the cause of his dissatisfaction. And therefore, one may be surrounded by the best facility, even in Krishna consciousness, but if one has material ambitions in the practice of Krishna consciousness, one can never experience full satisfaction. Thirdly, we learnt that in spite of all of his efforts, Dashrath did not give up. He continued, tolerating the dualities of this world, he continued to perform his duty of trying to beget a child. And therefore, the third lesson we had learnt was, failures keep coming, but failures should not make us give up in trying to perform our duty and remain fixed in Krishna consciousness. The fourth thing that we learnt was, Dashrath Maharaj, he knew that the cause of his suffering was his karma, and therefore to counteract the karma he performed Putra Kameshti Yagya. We learnt that to counter all our sufferings, we have to practice a process, and we learnt how the four things of legal implications, ugliness, low birth, and chronic diseases, we can handle these things. Either they are taken away, or we can handle this based on the power of Krishna consciousness. And the fifth lesson we had learnt yesterday from Dashrath Maharaj was that service attitude begets a service attitude. Sumitra, when she took that kheer that the Yajna Purush gave, all the queens took it, Kausalya, Kaikeyi and Sumitra. But when Sumitra drank that sweet rice, her attitude was only one thing. Let me beget a child which will serve Lord Ram. And because that was her attitude, she got Lakshman and Shatrughna as her sons, whose only goal in life was to serve Lord Ram and Bharat Maharaj. And therefore, it is very essential. Oh, she is very inspired to, you know, say that it is inspirational, very reciprocative. Thank you. You know, and therefore, the lesson is that service attitude begets a service attitude. Yesterday we had discussed that preaching is not about styles, it's not about charisma, it's not about content, it's not about knowledge, it's not about influence and impressions. Preaching is about purity, preaching is about service attitude. And one who speaks Krishna Katha and one who leads people, the kind of service attitude he has will beget the service attitude on those people who are listening and are following the person, the leader. And therefore we heard the example of Srila Prabhupada, that apparently Prabhupada did not speak any new stuff, he did not speak any esoteric stuff, he spoke the simple stuff. And when he led kirtans, he led very simple kirtans. But the service attitude that he had led to a service attitude in anyone who heard him and followed him. So this is the prelude. Now all the queens have taken the payasam, the kheer. So Sumitra, Kaikeyi and Kausalya. And meanwhile Lord Ram in Golok Ayodhya, in Vaikuntha Ayodhya, is being approached by all the demigods. That Ravan is torturing us, tormenting us, kindly appear in this world. And therefore, Lord Ram agrees to appear in this world for three purposes, according to Valmiki Ramayana. Protection, affection, correction. Right? He has these three purposes to come to this material world. For protection, for affection, and for correction. Whom does he have to protect? The first category he has to protect is the demigods. The demigods are tormented like anything by Ravan. In fact, many of the demigods are cutting sabjis, according to Valmiki, in Ravan's kitchen. Imagine, those lords of the heavenly planets doing sabji cutting. Seva. Good service, but for the deities it's good, not for Ravan. You know, many of the demigods are used, the Navagrahas, the nine planets, you know, which influence astrological positions of people in this world, they are used as steps for Ravan to walk on. So to the palace he has steps. And each of the steps has Rahu, Ketu, Shani, Buddha, all the nine grahas. And Ravan is stepping on their heads and ascending to his throne. And as he's stepping, everyone is looking up to Ravana, scared, paranoid, fearful. There's only one personality who is is the other way, lying the other way, that's Shani. He's looking at the floor, not at Ravan. So instead of stepping on his stomach, Ravan steps on his back. And one fine day, Ravan is thinking in his mind, who the hell he thinks he is? Every demigod, all of these nine planets, you know, they are looking at me and offering their respects even when I step on their stomachs. And this guy, Shani, he's turning his face against me. He reprimands him, chastises him, and asks him to turn the other way. Shani says, don't ask something like this. You know, as soon as I look at someone, there's trouble. In astrology, there's something called as Shani Sade Sati. You know, it's very, very troublesome. Ravan reprimands him. No, you have to go this way. And then Shani turns around. And then the next day when Ravan comes and steps his foot on his stomach, Shani looks at him, beginning of downfall. Of course, not just Shani, it's Lord Ram's offense to Sita and many other things. But according to the Puranas, he's torturing the demigods like anything, you know. Astrology is quite amazing today. They see Shani, Rahu, Ketu, this, that. One guy came to an astrologer and the astrologer saw his horoscope and said, my God, amazing, huh? Your horoscope, you have 14 women in your life. So this guy was very excited. 14 women. So the astrologer said, don't get so excited. One is a wife, 13 are daughters. You know, you'll have a tough time getting them married to some good guys. And therefore, astrology today can be quite amazing. Unless Prabhupada said that it's a bona fide science. The problem is there are not too many bona fide scientists. You know, it's a bona fide science, Vedic science. But not too many bona fide scientists who can give proper conclusions on the positions of the planets. And therefore, the demigods have all approached Lord Ram in Vaikuntha Ayodhya, pleading unto him, making a humble appeal unto him. Please, my dear Lord, you appear in this world to protect all of us from the torment and the turmoil that we are going through because of this demoniac personality, Ravana. And therefore, the first reason why the Lord appears is because he wants to protect the demigods. He has been requested by the demigods. But protection from the Lord is not a free deal. It never comes as a free deal. You know, like there's a proverb in English, they say there are no free lunches in this world. One always has to play a certain role and do something to achieve something, and therefore protection of the Lord also does not come free. So when the demigods approach Lord Ram and say that you please come and protect us, Lord Ram says, not free, sir. Sorry. First you also have to pay a price. And the price you have to pay is twofold. First, you have to take a humble position. And second, you have to come and work hard to be protected. Assist me. And therefore he says, all of you now go as monkeys. What a humble position, you know, for a demigod. Imagine the heavenly abodes, they are controllers. Indra, Chandra, Varuna, Brahma, Shiva, all controllers. And now the Lord is asking them to take a humble position of being a monkey. In the Western world, we at the most, you know, animals are adored. We can adore dogs and cats. People have good time carrying their dogs, and it's a prestigious thing. But no one carries a monkey as a pet. You know, imagine a monkey dressed in a suit with Dolce & Gabbana sunglasses, you know, and walking around, the master is walking him around. It's not a prestigious thing for anyone to walk a monkey. And here, the Lord is asking the demigods to take the roles of monkeys. And to take the roles of monkeys represents humility. Therefore, protection needs a prerequisite of humility. Unless one is willing to take a humble position and fall on the knees and call out, one will never be able to solicit the protection and the grace of the Lord. And the second thing the Lord said is, you will have to come and assist me. Therefore, do not expect that without doing something for me, you will get this protection. No. You have to come and do something. Therefore, all the demigods appear in Lord Ram's pastimes as monkeys, and they perform tremendous amount of service to the Lord, because of which the Lord reciprocates and protects them. Sugriva and the entire Vanar Sena, they are serving Lord Ramchandra by trying to figure out the whereabouts of Mother Sita. Later, by building a bridge for Lord Ramchandra. In return, the Lord protects his devotees. Today is the day of Damodar Leela. And Damodar Leela, Lord Krishna is bound. Not just, you know, you say, come and say, Krishna, you please be bound. You please just tie yourself. No. Matu swinnagatraya visrashtas kabarasraja drishtva parishramam Krishna kripaya sitswabandhane. Matu swinnagatraya. Swinnagatraya. There was perspiration on her forehead. You know, tremendous amount of perspiration. Visrashta kabarasraja. And the flower decorations on her head were all disturbed. All the flowers were falling off. Visrashta kabara srajaha. You can see that particular thing that is put. That's exactly srajaha. That in Hindi it's called gajra. You know, that particular thing that's put on Mother Yashoda's head. It's called srajaha. Visrashta kabara srajaha. It was destroyed, disturbed. She was perspiring profusely. Why? Parishramam. Parishrama means hard work. Drishtva parishramam Krishna. Lord Krishna saw the parishram, the hard work of Mother Yashoda. She was not a happy-go-lucky laid-back queen of Vrindavan. She was not a happy-go-lucky lady who said, well, no problem, he's not getting bound. No problem, let him not get bound. Krishna is not coming in life. No problem. Chanting is not working well. No problem. I'm not able to follow the principles. No problem. I'm not able to associate with devotees. No problem. She was not a laid-back lady. Drishtva parishramam Krishna. Lord Krishna saw her parishram, her hard work, which was making her perspire profusely, and the flower arrangements on her head was totally disturbed. Visrashta kavarasraja. And when Krishna saw this on her part, parishrama, kripaya sitswabandhane, then he sent his grace. Then he assisted her, swabandhane, to be bound on his own. But when there is parishram, then there is kripa. When there is hard work, then there is mercy. And therefore Lord Krishna, Lord Ram here is showing
that the demigods are not going to get Ram's mercy and protection just like that, sitting laid back attitude, enjoying the heavenly damsels in the heavenly abodes. No. They have to come, take a humble position. And they have to work hard assisting Lord Ramchandra. Parishram is there. And then that Parishram is coupled with Kripa, mercy. Then the Lord protects the demigods. On the battlefield of Kurukshetra, Arjun was not willing to fight. And Lord Krishna didn't say, Arjun, you relax, you don't worry, I'll take care of it all. You know, I'll fight, I'll take care of it all. No. You plus first fight, I'll take care of you. I'll give you the power, I'll give you the grace. But you first do some Parishram. You get up, you pick up your bow, you pick up your arrows and you fight. Without Parishram, that mercy, that protection will never come. And therefore, Srila Prabhupada also, oh, how much Parishram he did, you know, tremendous amount of hard work. And therefore there was Kripa, there was grace, there was protection. Thanks to Srila Prabhupada that we have ISKCON, and thanks to Srila Prabhupada that there is protection in ISKCON, that we can practice Krishna consciousness seriously here. So one reason of Lord Ram's descent was protection of the demigods. And the lesson we learn there is the concept of Parishram and Kripa. One has to take a humble position and work hard assisting the Lord in devotional service. Then Kripa comes. Then protection comes. The second is he came to protect the sages, the vows of the sages. The sages had all taken their vows to practice spiritual life, perform yajnas. But the biggest challenge for the practice of their yajnas was demons. Demons like Tataka, demons like Subahu, demons like Maricha, you know, all of these demons were coming and trying to disturb the practices of the sages. So also in our spiritual life, when we try to perform yajna, Nam Sankirtan Yajna, chanting Hare Krishna, there is Subahu, there is Maricha, there is Tataka, and so many of these demons described by Valmiki in his Ramayana, who come to disturb our practice of Krishna consciousness. And therefore there is only one shelter. Only the shelter of the Lord can, and his devotees can, protect us from this calamity. In fact, it is said that the Lord comes in this world, Bhrumandale Munikrite Makaradhvajasya. And he manifests such beautiful eyebrows. Why? Because Kamadev, Cupid, comes to tempt a sage, tempt a sadhaka. And the bows he uses is the eyebrows of the opposite sexes. Either ways, men or women. And the arrows he shoots is the arrows of the glances of the opposite sexes. So the eyebrow is considered to be the bow of Cupid. And the glances are considered to be the arrows of Cupid. And such are the glances that Cupid sends, that even a sage, a devotee, finds it extremely difficult to be protected by Subahu, Tataka and Maricha, the attack of these temptations, the attack of these demons. Therefore, Kapil Dev in his third canto explains that the Lord comes in this world, Bhrumandale Munikrite, Bhrumandale. He manifests such amazing, beautiful eyebrows. For whom? Munikrite. For the munis, for the sages, for the devotees. Why? Because Makaradhvaja, Cupid, comes and tempts the sages and the devotees. And therefore, Srila Prabhupada writes there in the purport, meditation on the beautiful eyebrows of the Lord is protection against the temptation of the material energy. Of course, not just otherwise one comes and just meditates and doesn't chant. You know, that's not what it means. But in particular, meditation on the eyebrows helps a person. And therefore, in Damodar Leela, the first verse says, Namami Ishwaram. Krishna is Ishwar. Lord Ram is Ishwar. He is Ishwar because he has three potencies. He has Jnana Shakti, knowledge. He has Kripa Shakti, concern. And he has Aishwarya Shakti, ability. Krishna knows exactly right now what each of us are going through. What is the trouble, what is the problem, what is the difficulty in our spiritual life that we are going through. Krishna's Jnana Shakti assists Krishna in helping him know what is our exact issue. Secondly, Krishna has
Kripa Shakti, concern. Not only he knows what are we going through, he's concerned. He wants to help. He wants to render help and protect us. Kripa Shakti. And not only does he know, and not only does he have concern, because some people have knowledge and concern, but they can't do anything about it. Some people don't even have concern. You know, like I was saying yesterday, they were doing a survey and they asked different countries, what is your opinion about food shortage in the rest of the world? When they asked this question to Chinese people, what is your opinion about food shortage in the rest of the world? They caught the first word. They said, opinion? We are communists. We are not allowed to have opinions. You know, there's no opinions allowed in this country. Then the same question was asked to Somalians. What is your opinion about food shortage in the rest of the world? They caught up the word food. And they said, food? We have never seen it in our lives. The same question was asked to Europeans. What is your opinion about food shortage in the rest of the world? They caught the word shortage. Shortage? We don't know what shortage means. There's too much abundance. And the same question was asked to Americans. What is your opinion about food shortage in the rest of the world? They said, we don't know what the rest of the world means. You know, well, people may have knowledge, they have no concern about others. And some have concern, they have no knowledge. And some have concern and knowledge, they don't have the ability to help. Lord Krishna is Namamishwaram Sachidananda Rupam, is Ishwaram, because he has jnana, knowledge, kripa, concern, and aishwarya, ability to help. And thus, a sage, a devotee knows that when I'm going through all these temptations in my heart, if I call, Krishna will help me. Jesus said in the Holy Bible, knock and the door shall open. Seek and thou shall find. The problem is, except for knocking at Krishna's door, we knock at all other doors, trying to help ourselves from the temptations of this world. And therefore, the purpose why Lord Ram came, one was protection. Protection of the lives of the demigods and protection of the vows of the devotees and the sages. The second reason why Lord Ram came was for affection. Right? Lakshmiji in the spiritual world was talking to Lord Ram and saying, my dear Lord, here I am trying to serve you, doing some Pada Samvahan, massaging your lotus feet, but there's too many people around. The first thing is Ananta Shesh is watching us. There's no solitude. There's no privacy. There's no reciprocation of affectionate relationships here. I serve you and you want to and I want to. But the problem is there's too many people everywhere around. All those people, you know, come to Vaikuntha, you only give them liberation. And as soon as they come, they're all surrounding us. Therefore, I want some solitude with you. I want to have reciprocation of affectionate loving dealings with you. Please fulfill my desires. And therefore the Supreme Lord appears in this world as Lord Ram to fulfill that desire of Lakshmi, you know, to have affectionate dealings, reciprocal dealings with Lakshmiji in solitude. No wonder there is exile for 14 years. Otherwise even in Ayodhya it's the same situation as Vaikuntha. Everyone surrounding Sitaram. And therefore their exile, according to the Sri Vaishnava Acharyas, is orchestrated by the Lord Himself so that this particular desire of Lakshmiji is fulfilled, that they can have reciprocal dealings. And therefore there's only one thing in life that can satisfy: affectionate reciprocal dealings based on love and trust. Everything else fails to give full contentment and satisfaction. If there is no loving reciprocal dealings with devotees, Krishna consciousness is a drag and a burden on the system. Krishna, Lord Ram, they have not come to this world to cause burden to us. They have come to this world to create joy and bliss. Susukham kartum avyayam, Krishna says in the Gita. This practice is joyfully performed. The problem is, all the joy disappears in the lives of the boys. Right? When there is no proper dealings, no affectionate dealings of love. Therefore, in this world, relationships are so selfish. There's a lot of disappointment. Relationship in this world means appointment for disappointment. Definitely.
relationships of this world means making an appointment with disappointment. Because no one can fully reciprocate. No mortal can fully reciprocate with the needs of the soul, you know, that a person has in his or her life. And therefore, Lord comes here to show that here I am, come to give affection, just connect to me. And we can very well connect to Him. Japa every day is exactly what Lakshmi wants. Lakshmi wants solitude. Everyone wants to be with Krishna. If one wants to be with Krishna, Japa is the time when we and Krishna alone, no one else. Japa is the time of full solitude with Krishna. Right? And therefore, Japa is not simply meant to cleanse the heart. That's a very low level of aspiration in Japa. You know, of course, for a conditioned soul, that comes as the greatest relief. Let my heart gets cleansed and let me experience some peace. That's not what Japa is meant for. Japa is meant to spend time with the holy name in solitude. Not in solitude meaning going and sitting in a place alone. Sitting amongst devotees with one is still alone with Krishna. In the middle of all Vaishnavas. Right? And when one spends that time with the holy name, it is meant to cultivate that relationship with Krishna. The aspiration of a sadhaka is to revive that lost relationship with Krishna. And the means to revive that lost relationships is japa. A side effect is cleansing of the heart. A side effect is peace. A side effect is the feeling of liberation. But the goal of japa is to please Krishna and revive that relationship with Krishna, wherein Krishna drowns the heart with affection. Iti driksva lilabhir anandakunde swaghosham nimajjantam anandakunde. There is Sham Kund, Radha Kund, and so many kunds. In Badrinath there is Tapta Kund, Narad Kund, and here there is Ananda Kund, the Kunda of bliss, this reservoir of joy and bliss. And what does Krishna do to his devotees? Itidhrik swalilabhir ananda kunde. In the joyful reservoir of his blissful pastimes, he picks a devotee by his shikha, you know, holds a devotee by his shikha, his collar, and swaghosham nimajjantam. Nimajjantam is soaking him, you know, like sometimes people take biscuits and dip it in tea, herbal tea, you know, not regular, rooibos, you know, they dip it in tea and soak it fully, and oh, that biscuit soaked in herbal tea, delicious. It's a typical Indian, I don't know if it's British also, but India it's very common. Soak it and eat it. If you have jalebis or rasgullas or gulab jamun, soaked in syrup, soaked in sugar syrup, simply full of sweetness. That is what Krishna does to his devotee. Iti driksva lilabhir anandakunde nimajjantam. Nimajjantam is drown him, soak him in that kund of joy and bliss. That is why the Lord comes to this world to reciprocate affection with his devotees. Protection, affection, and correction. Lord Ram, the Supreme Lord Vishnu, who took the form of Lord Ranganath's deity, came in the Ikshvaku dynasty, in the same line that Lord Ram came in the Raghu dynasty. And the problem was, the Ikshvaku kings were not worshipping Lord Ranganath properly. So in order for correction, Lord Ram personally appeared in this world so that he could personally correct the worship of the deities of Lord Ranganath and establish proper standards of worship unto the Supreme Lord Ranganath. What an amazing example. Who comes to give a deity worship seminar? Lord. You know, we don't need deity worship ministers or anyone. Straight. Of course we need. In ISKCON we need. They didn't need. Otherwise you'll say, my God, we don't need deity worship. We do need deity worship ministers. I'm talking of Ayodhya then. You know. The Lord personally comes to worship the proper standard of worship for Lord Ramchandra. And Srila Prabhupada personally inspected the deity worship standards in ISKCON. In fact, Shruta Kirti Prabhu writes in his book, What is the Difficulty? That Prabhupada was the transcendental inspector. I don't know how it is here, but in India, in a lot of schools, there are inspectors who come to check what is the standard of teaching there. And I'm sure here for your Janmashtami festival and this cooking, you know, the health and safety committee, whatever it's called, comes here to check what are the standards. Srila Prabhupada was a transcendental inspector to see that the standards of worshipping the deity are proper and thorough, you know. And therefore, when Srila Prabhupada came to Los Angeles, he had told the devotees that you should offer bhoga to the deities. And when Srila Prabhupada came and he asked, so are you offering bhoga? The devotees said, Prabhupada, we don't know recipe of bhoga. They thought bhoga was a sweet. You know, like you have sandesh and everything, they thought bhoga was the name of a sweet. So when Prabhupada said, are you offering bhoga? I said, what is the recipe, Prabhupada? We don't know the recipe. They didn't realize bhoga meant offering, you know. So for so many days, they had not offered anything because Prabhupada said you should offer bhoga, and they didn't know how to make bhoga because they thought bhoga was a sweet, you know. And then Prabhupada said, my Prabhu, bhoga means offering. Anything that you offer to the Lord is called bhoga. And on February 11, 1975, Prabhupada came to Mexico. When he came to Mexico, the kind of reception he got at the airport, incredible. He didn't have to go through customs, immigrations. In fact, there were escorts who brought Srila Prabhupada to the limousine that was waiting for him. And then there was a police escort in front of Prabhupada's limousine to take him to the temple. And His Holiness Hridayananda Maharaj was sitting in the car and giving a report to Srila Prabhupada. A report of book distribution, you know. A report of how Prabhupada's books are translated into Spanish. How the BBT is doing so good in Spanish. And Prabhupada was incredibly pleased. And he came to the temple. He took darshan of the deities. And after taking darshan of the deities, he asked for Mahaprasadam. And as soon as he popped a piece of Mahaprasad into his mouth, Srila Prabhupada was furious. He said, what is this nonsense you are offering to the deities? Is this the standard of food that is cooked and offered to the deities? And then he told His Holiness Hridayananda Maharaj, you are distributing books, but there's no good if the deities are not pleased. You are distributing books. Book distribution will get its power when their lordships are pleased. And therefore make sure that the standards of deity worship are proper. And then Srila Prabhupada left Mexico and he went to Caracas, Venezuela. And when he went to Caracas, he came to the temple. Again he took darshan of the deities and asked for Mahaprasad. And they had made puris. He popped a piece of puri and oh my God, he just threw it out and was very, very furious and angry. Again he said the same thing. You're doing all services. It's all meant for the pleasure of their lordships. And therefore, Lord Ram's appearance in this world is to for correction. Because the Ikshvaku Kul kings were not worshipping Lord Ranganath with proper standards, he came to show the proper standards of worshipping the Lord. And therefore, both Bhagavat Vidhi and Pancharatriki Vidhi have to go hand in hand. If it's one at the cost of the other, it's a problem. We can't chant in here properly unless we serve the deities properly. And we can't serve the deities properly unless we chant in here properly and do our book distribution and preaching properly. So they supplement each other like two tracks of a railway train. And thus, Lord Ram's coming to this world was for these three purposes. Protection of the demigods and the sages. Affection. Showering affection to Lakshmiji in solitude. Reciprocating these feelings of love. And for correction. And Lord Ranganath's deity was not being worshipped properly, he came to set that proper standard. And then, the day of Ram Navami, all of them appeared. Lord Ram, Lakshman, Bharat and Shatrughna. Ram was the oldest, Bharat was the second, Lakshmana third, and Shatrughna was fourth. Right. Vasishtha Muni was waiting for this day. The perfection of his being the family priest and the guru of the Raghu dynasty was to christen these boys, as it's spoken in England here. Christening them, give them names, you know, Namakaran Sanskara. They had eternal names. Here it is said, Rama Lakshmana Bharata Shatrughna Iti Sangeya. They had eternal names. But Vasishtha Muni gave them these four names. And these four names are very, very powerful, important and significant. We'll discuss these four names and stop, because there's no end to Ramayana, you know. Next is Vishwamitra Samvad. After that is Sita Kalyan. After that is Tataka Subahu and Marichava. Then oh my God, the wisdom there
is unparalleled, the kind of wisdom that the Acharyas have given in each of these episodes. But here is the naming of the four children, Ram, Lakshman, Bharat and Shatrughna. Ram was named. Why was he given the name Ram? Because the meaning of the name Ram is Ramayati iti Ramaha. One who gives pleasure to others is called Ram. The whole purpose of his coming to this world was giving pleasure. Therefore, even when Kaikeyi actually told him that you are exiled, same composure, same expression on the face. In fact, Valmiki Muni describes that when Lord Ram was leaving, after Kaikeyi told, his brilliance increased a million fold. He didn't even want to make Kaikeyi feel that you are the cause of my problem. In relationships, many times, if someone troubles us, we may try and say, okay, I'll forgive him this, that, but we somehow or the other, through our body language, through our words, through our behavior, want to communicate, it is because of you that I'm going through this. You know, it's because of you that I'm going through this trouble and suffering. A person who lives for the pleasure of others does not even want to, by his body language, to the slightest, communicate to the other person that you are the one who's causing me trouble. Lord Ram, what a personality. My God, what a personality. Keep his godhood aside. Keep his godhood aside. And keeping his godhood aside, if we just learn things from him, my God, what amazing, incredible qualities he's teaching. His very existence was for the pleasure of others, to teach us that the goal of our life is to please. The more we try to please the Lord, the more we try to please Srila Prabhupada, the more we try to please the spiritual master, and the more we try to please Guru, Vaishnavas, and the more we try to please every single person, that is bhakti. That is Krishna consciousness. Krishna consciousness means living to please, right? Living to please others. The Lord, the Acharyas, the spiritual master, the family members, the devotees, and every single person around. It's a challenge, big challenge, to live by the principle of simply living to please others, you know. And therefore, the meaning of the name Ram is Ramayati iti Ramaha. And anyone who connects to him, so much pleasure he gives to his devotees. Like I mentioned, Ananda Kunde Nimajjantam, soaking in pleasure, you know. Therefore, Lord Ramchandra is like a tap, a faucet. But he's not a water faucet. He's not a tap of water. He's a tap of nectar, of honey. And if you ever see honey, if you pour New Zealand honey, you know, it trickles down. Uninterruptedly trickles down. You may have seen those adverts with ice cream and, you know, honey trickling down a few drops. It only looks good on pictures. In reality, it doesn't look like that. But when they have all these lights and cameras on and you take the picture, wow, honey trickling down, the uninterrupted flow of honey. For a pure devotee, when he connects to Lord Ram, that connection is uninterrupted flow of honey. For a sadhaka, that flow is interrupted flow. Comes sometimes, stops sometimes. It's like Indian taps. You know, when you have in India, you open the tap, sometimes water comes and suddenly you're taking a shower and water stops. My God, that's too much, you know. You applied a shower gel and soap and everything and now you're just about to get ready. And water supply cut off for another 1 hour. You're in the bathroom wondering what I should be doing. Maybe I should have got my bead bag here. At least I would have chanted some rounds till I come out of the bathroom. So for a pure devotee, connection to Lord Ram, that tap is an uninterrupted flow of joy, pleasure. For a sadhaka, it's interrupted, you know. Sometimes it comes, sometimes it goes, depends on our surrender. Sometimes an ecstatic kirtan, oh, what a kirtan. And sometimes we're standing there like, you know, like a statue, like an antique piece in a rich man's house, holding a lamp. Don't know what the goal of life is in kirtan, you know. And for an impersonalist, the tap doesn't work at all. It doesn't open. He doesn't want peace, joy, he doesn't want distress, he doesn't want anything. He just wants peace. So Krishna says, why you want the tap to open? No opening of the tap. And for a materialist, Lord Ram says, this tap won't open. Maya's tap will open for you. Full-fledged flow. Dirty water, you know. Absolutely dirty water with colloidal particles inside it. And therefore, Ram means one who gives pleasure. Ramayati iti Ramaha.
So Ram is God. Second is the son of Kaikeyi, Bharat. Ram is God, Bharat is God, but acting as an order carrier of God. Lakshman is God, but acting as a servant of God. Shatrughna is God, but acting as a servant of the servant of God. You know, amazing roles. All four play different roles. Ram, God. Bharat, order carrier of God. Lakshman, servant of God. And Shatrughna, servant of the servant of God. So what is the meaning of Bharat? Bharat comes from Bharavahati iti Bharatah. One who thinks Ayodhya as Bhar, burden. Ayodhya is a burden for me without Ram. He goes to see Lord Ram and Lord Ram says, you go and you rule over Ayodhya. Take the throne of Ayodhya. For Bharat, resources without Lord Ram is a burden. Today, no one considers resources as burden. Everyone considers God as a burden. You know, remove Lord Ram from life. Bharat considers the resources, the throne, the power of Ayodhya as a great burden without Lord Ramchandra. And therefore, it's a very powerful lesson that in life, if one wants to have resources, all these resources become a burden in life unless they are used in service to Lord Ram. And a devotee should take anything material as nothing but a huge, massive burden unless it can be used in service to Lord Ramchandra. The Bhagavatam explained that someone who has a powerful golden crown on his head, embedded with lapis lazulis and gems and jewels and sapphires and emeralds and pearls, made of solid gold, that crown and that head with that crown, if it doesn't bow down to the Lord, that crown is a burden, the head is a burden, and that same burden makes the person sink in the ocean of birth and death. Burden with gold and silver and rubies and emeralds make the body which is heavy, heavier, and if the person drowns, it drowns faster. Therefore, all material resources make a person sink into pits of ignorance and depravity if those resources are not used in service to the Lord. On the other hand, if the Lord is connected, even the heaviest thing becomes light and floats back to Godhead. Even a stone with the name of Lord Ram starts floating on the ocean, you know, and a bridge is formed. Therefore, Bharat means Bhar Vahati Iti Bharata. Without Lord Ram, everything is a burden to him. Lakshmana. What is the meaning of the name Lakshmana? Lakshmana, Lakshmi Sampanna, Bahya Prana Ivappara. Lakshman is called Lakshmi Sampanna. Very much endowed with resources and wealth. Today people worship Lakshmi ji, Lakshmi Puja on Diwali. You know, so much wealth. Lakshmana, wealth, he is with Ram in the forest. He doesn't have anything. He doesn't even have his wife. At least Ram has his wife with him. Nothing with him, and he's called Lakshmi Sampanna. Why? Because he considers his greatest asset as his wealth as service to Lord Ram. What is the greatest wealth? The greatest wealth is service to Lord Ramchandra. You know, Lakshmana considers that as Lakshmi. Lakshmana, Lakshmi Sampanna. And therefore, Srila Prabhupada taught us, the greatest wealth for a devotee is the opportunity to serve the Lord and his devotees. Service is not a chore. It's a privilege. It's a gift. It's a blessing. It's a gift given by the Lord. And therefore, there cannot be, you know, half-hearted service. Lakshmana is teaching how he puts his heart in serving Lord Ram. Incredible. I mean, there's details to it. Lakshmana's personality will take 2 hours to discuss. Alone that personality. All the different references in Ramayana. Amazing. You know. Srila Prabhupada considered service as such a privilege. I think it was Hamsadutta Prabhu, probably Brahmanand Prabhu. He came to Prabhupada and said, Prabhupada, forget about distributing your back to Godhead magazines. All of these magazines are lying there, not even bound and stapled. And no devotee considers it important to staple and bind it, to say nothing of distributing it, Srila Prabhupada. No one's doing this service. Prabhupada said, no one is doing this service. Why no one is doing this service? You never came and asked me. I've always been waiting for some service. Why you never came and asked me that these BTGs are lying unbound and to be stapled? And Srila Prabhupada came to the place where this back to Godhead were lying and sat there for hours, stapling all the back to Godhead magazines and binding them. Why?
because he never considered service as a chore. He considered service as a great gift, as a great privilege. Lakshmana, Lakshmi Sampanna, Bahya Prana Ivappara. And the last is Shatrughna.
So God, Bharat carries the order of God, although he is God, and takes care of Ayodhya's throne on his behalf for 14 years. Therefore, he is the order carrier of God. Lakshmana remains with Ram 14 years. He's like Bahya Prana Ivappara. He's like Lord Ram's life, external life of Lord Ram. Right. His whole life there as Lakshman. Non-stop service, 14 years. Not sleeping for a wink for 14 years. You know, that's what happens when we take darshan of Sitaram. We become sleepless. Not in the literal sense. We become very alert. Sleeplessness means alertness. And Lakshman for 14 years does not sleep. Why? Absolutely alert in service to Lord Ramchandra. 24 hours a day. Right, 24/7, 14 years. You know, he doesn't sleep till he reaches back to Ayodhya. So he is a servant of God. Plays the role of servant of God. And what Shatrughna? Shatrughnati. Iti Shatrughna. One who kills the Shatru, the enemy, is called Shatrughna. But the only enemy Shatrughna killed was Lavanasura. Only demon he killed in Mathura. How can he be called as Shatrughna? Very simple. He's called as Shatrughna because he has killed the greatest enemy within. And the greatest enemy within is false ego. Right? Anyone can be a servant of God because God doesn't speak, you know, many times. Anyone can be a servant of the deity because deity doesn't correct. But it's very difficult to be a servant of a devotee because devotee corrects. And therefore, Shatrughna becomes a servant of the servant of God. He serves Bharat. What Lakshman is to Ram, Shatrughna is to Bharat. In fact, when they were little kids, whenever Lakshman would weep, nothing would make him stop crying. Sumitra would bring him and put him near the cradle of Ram. Quiet. Whenever Shatrughna would cry, she would just pick Shatrughna and put him near the cradle of Bharat. And Shatrughna would stop crying. He doesn't want access to Ram. He wants access to a servant of Lord Ram. And therefore, this whole point of being a servant to the servant to the servant is taught by Shatrughna, by his personal example. To conclude, I read a beautiful story, amazing story, you know, how Prabhupada said that one can never make advancement unless one serves devotees. Outside the association of devotees, to think one will make progress is insanity. There were some porcupines. It was chilling cold, minus 26 degrees outside. And all these porcupines realized that it's so cold that they won't survive. So all the porcupines came together and, you know, they just kind of hugged each other and stayed just in their close proximity. And immediately, just in a couple of minutes, they became very warm in their association of each other. But the problem was their quills, the spiky, you know, whatever you call it, it's called quills, I believe, you know, the spiky quills. These quills started hurting each other. And they said to the other, "Hey, what, your quill is hurting me." And the other said, "But your quill is hurting me as well." And then at a point of time, they said, "This is too much. We are being wounded by these quills now." And they decided to separate. When they decided to separate, the minus 26 winter got on to them. And they realized we have only two choices. One is to be in the minus 26 winter and die. Second is to be among the spiky spokes and the quills and be poked and wounded a little bit, but live in the warmth of the association of each other. You know, they chose the second. And therefore, that's what we have. Two choices. One, to be in the minus 100 degrees Celsius of Maya. And second is, be in the warmth of the association of devotees to serve them and be their servant to their servants. But while we are with each other, we are all different. And there will be some spiky spokes, some quills, which will poke each other. And we'll say, "Hey, but you said this to me and I'm wounded. But you did this to me and I'm wounded." But you go outside, what the people will do to us? You know, it's minus 100 degrees Celsius. Maya. Material energy. And therefore, there's only one hope. Remaining in the warmth of the servants of the servants of the Lord and his devotees, and remaining tight in the association of the devotees, affectionate dealings with devotees, that protects one from the minus 100 degrees Celsius of the material energy. So on this most auspicious day of Diwali, prayer is to Sitaram, Lakshman, Hanuman and Shri Shri Radha Damodar, Yashoda Damodar, that all what we hear and speak here, we can, you know, apply little things in our lives and practice these beautiful names. Ram means to please,
Bharat means to carry the burden on behalf of the Lord, although we don't want it. Lakshmana means to serve, and Bharat means to be a servant of the servant. Shatrughna means to be a servant of the Lord and his devotees. Jai Shri Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman Ji Ki, Shri Shri Radha Damodar Bhagavan Ki, Jai Shri Radha Gokulananda Bhagavan Ki, Jai Shri Shri Gaur Nithai Ki, Jai Bhakti Vedanta Manor Dham Ki, Jai Shri Deepavali Mahamahotsav Ki, Samaveta Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Ki, Jai Gaur Premanande, Hari 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 Krishna.